makes a person spiritually advanced is the humility and the devotion of their heart, not the powers they attain. So he could change his form to any way he wanted. He could conquer any opponent. But he wanted Sita. So very, very immoral ways he distracted Ram and Lakshman into the forest, and when Sita was all alone, he forcibly grabbed her and took her with him. And he could fly in the sky. So he was flying overhead with Sita in this chariot that he had, and they flew over Tarkate, the little forest that I was telling you about. And there lived a bird. He was actually a vulture, and his name was Jatayu. But he was a great devotee. In fact, he was a dear friend of Ram's father, Dasarath. And when Sita saw Jatayu, she cried out. She was really crying. She said, "Jatayu, don't try to help me, because you're too old and Ravana is too strong. But when you see Ram, tell him what happened to me, in which direction I'm going." Jatayu saw how desperate she was. There was a British statesman in the 18th century named Edmund Burke. And he wrote, "The triumph of evil is when good people do nothing." Jatayu, he couldn't sit there and watch this happen. He couldn't see this innocent, beautiful girl, Sita, Ram's own consort, in such a desperate, helpless condition. Even though he was really old, he cried out to Ravana and gave him really good advice. He said, "Just wait till Ram comes back and be honorable and fight him, but don't just take her away." At least I know somebody's So he jumped up, because he's a bird, he could fly. He jumped into the sky. And he told Ravana that if you want to take Sita away, you will have to fight me. I will not stand back and watch this happen. And Sita was saying, "Jatayu, don't try to fight him. You cannot win." He attacked Ravana. And Ravana, he came and he was so fast and so strong. He had such incredible intellect, and he had all kinds of celestial, mystical weapons, and all Jatayu had was his claws and his wings. And they fought. And Jatayu just put everything and anything into that to try to rescue Sita. He was so good. It wasn't because of his strength, it wasn't because of his fighting abilities, it was just because of his devotion that he actually ripped off all Ravana's arms. But because of his yogic powers, his arms grew back. What to do? He cut off Ravana's head. How do you fight somebody like that? So they were fighting and fighting and fighting, and Ravana put Sita down, and with all of his strength and all of his might, and he saw that Jatayu was so tired. absolutely exhausted. He was just trying to catch his breath. He couldn't move. And at that most vulnerable moment, that coward Ravana took his sword, cut off both the wings of Jatayu. Jatayu fell to the ground. His white feathers on his breast were soaked with his blood. And Sita, the goddess of fortune, the very origin and personification of all love and devotion, she ran over to Jatayu and cried. She petted his head. She said, "Jatayu, you're such a friend. You willingly gave up your life for me. How will I ever repay you?" And then Ravana dragged her by the hair and took her away. Sometime later, Ram came back to where he left Sita, and she was gone. And they were searching everywhere. They didn't know what happened. And as they were wandering through the forest, they came upon Jatayu. And Jatayu explained what happened. He said, "The Rakshasa Ravana, the son of Vishrata, the half-brother of Kuvera, he stole away Sita, and then he stole away my very life. But I really tried to help her. She's so helpless." Ram fell to the ground, weeping and crying to see his devotee's condition. Then the Supreme Lord put Jatayu's head in his own lap and embraced him. Jatayu was coughing blood. He was looking up at the beautiful face of Sri Ram with tears cascading from his eyes in love, in ecstasy. And Ram told him, "You sacrificed your life for me and for my beloved. On this very day, I give you this promise. You will attain the ultimate, highest spiritual perfection by my grace. On this day, you will attain the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, the highest liberation. There is no friend that I have ever had like you." And then Jatayu, chanting the names of Ram again and again and again, gave up his life. Ram and Lakshman cried and cried. Ram said, "The loss of my father, the exile from my kingdom, and even the kidnapping of my own wife is not causing so much pain to my heart as the loss of a friend like Jatayu. He sacrificed everything in love for me." Then Lord Ram himself chanted the mantras for the last rites of his devotee. And then Lord Ram went to the Godavari River, where everyone was bathing for Kumbh Mela. And there he offered oblations and prayers for the soul of Jatayu. The question is, was Jatayu victorious or was he defeated? From a material perspective, he was defeated. But because of the sincerity of his intent, he attained the ultimate victory. A little later, Ram met Hanuman. How many of you have heard of Hanuman? There's a place called Kishkindakshetra in South India. In fact, we took a group of people there last year. And Hanuman was dispatched to find Sita. And he traveled with a band of Vanaras, celestial monkeys. And they couldn't find any clue where she could be. But then they met Jatayu's brother, Sampati. And he could see where Sita was with his incredible vision, because vultures have really good vision. Across the ocean, 800 miles away in the Ashokvan of Ravana, Sita is sitting under a tree crying. 800 miles across ocean. Everyone was thinking, it's impossible. How will we ever reach it? But for Hanuman, nothing was possible or impossible. Everything was according to the Lord's will. So he climbed a mountain and he cried out the name Sri Ram and jumped. He jumped from that mountain and he crossed over 800 miles of ocean. And according to Ramayana, there were so many obstacles and difficulties and temptations he endured on the way, but he made it. And he found Sita. And he gave her Ram's message. He gave her Ram's ring. He found her under a tree crying and crying in separation from her beloved like a prisoner. And after he fulfilled everything he was supposed to do, he wanted to do a little more. So he started doing things just to get Ravana's attention. It's a long story. He got tied up by Ravana's biggest generals, Ravana's own son. And he was taken in front of Ravana himself. And there Hanuman gave him really good advice and also called him a coward. Now, arrogant men don't like to be called cowards. So he became so angry. He said, kill this monkey. Hanuman was all tied up. Vibhishan, the younger brother of Ravana, said, you're not supposed to kill a messenger. So Ravana said, then torture him and humiliate him. Monkeys are proud of their tails. Set his tail on fire. So they wrapped his tail up with all sorts of rags that were soaked and saturated in flammable oils and lit it. And Hanuman's all tied up. And then they brought him into the street with a flaming tail and they were beating him so everyone would just laugh at this monk. Hanuman was only thinking. He wasn't thinking of the pain or the humiliation. He was thinking, how can I serve in this situation? My tail's on fire. This is a really good opportunity. So he broke out of the ropes and he jumped on top of Ravana's palace and touched it with his tail. Then he jumped because really good at jumping. He jumped to another palace and another palace and another house and another in the big conference hall in the civic center, and he was jumping all over Lanka, and everywhere he jumped, he was igniting and on fire, and soon the whole Sri Lanka was blazing.
blazing fire. And Ravana was going crazy, and everybody, they didn't know what to do. And he just kept jumping. But then he was thinking, how is it possible my tail's been on fire so long? But my tail feels really cool. Kind of menthol, refreshing. And he knew exactly what it was. Because Sita was sitting under her tree and she prayed to Agni, the god of fire, to make the fire really nice for Hanuman. So then he jumped on top of a mountain and he roared very loud for everyone to hear, I'm just the insignificant servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Ram. And you see what I've done? Give back Sita and Ram will be always there to protect you. But don't, and he will come himself. And everything you have will be lost. And then he jumped in the ocean and put his tail out. And then he jumped all the way back across the ocean and went to a mountain. Still there today, there's a cave. It's called Malyavanta. And that's the cave Ram was living. And Hanuman told everything that happened to Ram. Ram began to cry. Such a success. Ram said to Hanuman, he said, I have no possible way to repay you for your love, for your service. The only thing I could possibly give you that can come close is myself. I eternally give you my heart. And then Ram embraced Hanuman. It's one of the most beautiful paintings in history. Great devotees have tried to depict this scene of Ram lovingly embracing Hanuman. Jatayu and Hanuman achieved the exact same success. Both of them pleased their beloved Lord. One, by material standards, was defeated and killed. And the other was totally miraculously victorious in every way. From a spiritual perspective, they were both embraced by the Lord. They were both considered dearmost to Sita. Our success is not how much money we have, how much intelligence we have, or don't have. It's our devotion, our will to please and to serve. And the beautiful thing about that is everyone could achieve that ultimate success. Patram pushpam palam polyam. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, even if you offer me a leaf, a flower, a little water with devotion, I am conquered by that. I will accept it. Bhavagrahi Janardana. The sincerity of our intent is our true success. And of course, that sincerity, we have to express it through our words and our actions and our integrity. Through these stories,
we learn what to actually value. I'll tell you one little lesson I just learned of how we can grow in any situation in life. Recently, I was in a redwood forest in Northern California. Now, wherever I was going in California, people were talking about this drought. You all know about this drought? It's still a drought. It's a serious drought. And I was at some wealthy people's house in the LA area, and they were telling me that they spend so many tens and thousands of dollars on their garden, and the government won't give any water for their backyards. So it really doesn't matter, rich or poor, if it doesn't rain, there's no water. So when I was in this redwood forest, it was quite interesting. I was trying to get to a place that was really quiet, where there wasn't any tourists, and I happened to see a circle of American tourists. And in the middle of them, there was a lady, a Chinese lady, who was the park ranger. And she was explaining, how is it in this drought that these trees are growing so nicely? She said, so many trees, because trees get their water from the roots. And when there's no water, trees are drying up. Trees are dying. But she said, look at these redwood trees. They're green and they're flourishing. Where are they getting their water from? Then she explained that there's nothing, all the creeks and rivers close by are practically dried up. There's no rain, but there's fog. Now, usually people don't like fog. Usually when you're spaced out, they say you're really into fog. And in Delhi in the winter, usually every day airplanes are delayed or canceled by hours and hours and hours because of fog. You can't drive properly in the fog. You can't walk hardly in the fog. You can't fly in the fog. There's so much difficulty when there's fog. But the redwood trees, not from the bottom of the roots, but from the very top of the trees where the leaves are, and those leaves are like little sticks. They're like little pointed green things, redwood leaves. The leaves absorb the fog and have learned to take that fog right in to distribute to the rest of the tree all the way down to the roots. And this Chinese lady, she explained every one of these trees from the fog is getting 300 to 500 gallons of water every day. So when I heard that story, I was thinking, nature is teaching us something very valuable. If we just learn to adjust ourselves to see the opportunity like Hanuman did with the fire on his tail, we could always grow. In bhakti, our intention, humbling ourselves before the higher power of grace in whatever situation, we can keep growing and growing and flourish forever. Thank you very much. Shall we have kirtan?
Yes.
Yes. Yay. Yes, I'm. You think it's hot? Think of the redwood tree. And be happy and grow. It's like the redwood trees, they get water from the fog from the top, so we should raise our arms very high, reaching out for grace as we chant the holy name. As I'm chanting, please, with folded hands. Receive the divine blessings of this mantra, and as you're chanting, please raise your arms very high. You can stand up. Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasa Digo Bhaktavinoda.